Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the 3 Under Par podcast. This is a golf podcast where...
Little White Ball's life.
I'm your host, Scotty T, and I'm joined by my co-host in the other box, T-Bone. T-Bone, happy new year, 2024. How are you doing, my friend?
Doing good. I've had a few questions about where the boys have been. So back from the holidays, ready to start the new year. I think we had a good golf week to get us back in the swing of things. Got my bucket hat on with the rainy Houston weather, so we're ready to go.
Man, we sure are. We are ready to bring it for this year. I mean, it's already been a couple weeks. Some really good golf has been played already. I don't think anybody's been watching LIV Golf, and especially John Rahm's not on the PGA Tour anymore. Again, I don't know if they've played the first tournament yet, but an amateur has already won this year. And, you know, it starts off always strong in Hawaii, low rounds all over the place, just beautiful course at Kapalua. We're here to talk about the start for the year. We're going to save our majors predictions for next week just because there's still a lot to catch up on, some golf gossip, all over the place. T-Bone's got a great list. We're going to bounce and forth back of each other. As always, while you're here, go ahead and subscribe. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. Our goal is to get to 1,000 subs. So go subscribe to the YouTube channel as well as the podcast. Leave those 5-star reviews and then comment below on your thoughts on the season so far. I want to know, what do you think about an amateur winning? I saw some really interesting takes back and forth on Twitter. I think there's a lot to talk about. I mean, look, at the end of the day, he took down some dogs. He took down some dogs. Sam Burns was in the mix. You had Justin Thomas in the mix, but Nick Dunlap comes out on top, amateur from Alabama. So, T-Bone, before we do it, we want to shout out our sponsor, Chip Goff. Chip Goff Co. That's CHIPPCO.com. Link is in the description below. They got some fire gloves. We love their equipment. Randall and the gang over there are doing some great things. They got some big plans, I think, coming out for this year. So go support Chip Goff Co. Use promo code 3UNDERPAR for 10% off your order. That would be awesome. So, Tebow, how you doing, brother? What you got for us? Where do you want to start? 2024, a few weeks in already. There's already been some action. So I'll let you kick us off.
Do we, I guess since you previewed it a little bit, I think we just start off with the amateur, Nick Dunlap.
I'm in.
I'll be honest. I'm gonna be vulnerable. Oh God. Vulnerable here.
Man, T-Bone short circuited again.
Man,
twice.
We've had too long of an off season, but let me rephrase this.
All right,
expose myself here a little bit because I'm not trying that word again. As a golf journalist, I'm a little ashamed to say I don't think I knew who Nick Dunlap was before this week. Did you?
No, I did not. And I think that's okay, dude. The guy was 20 years old. He was at Alabama. He's a college player. Look, last year we our top 5 college golf programs, and Alabama was on that list, but that doesn't necessarily mean that I follow college golf as closely as I should. Look, it's an off, it's not a main sport. And
he did. The reason I was a little disappointed, I didn't know, because he won the U.S. Amateur.
That is true. That's on us.
Yeah, I like to watch that tournament when I can and kind of find the storylines and all that good stuff. But I did not know who he was, and you know, watching this tournament, I think this tournament's always pretty fun to watch. It doesn't really get me going or like spring me into golf season, but I think that course looks awesome. Up in Palm Springs. I would love to get out there someday. I think also this used to be the Bob Hope Invitational. Regardless, it doesn't feel too competitive, kind of good vibes, kind of like vacation resortish style.
Yeah, golf. Absolutely. You know, it's interesting because like the first two tournaments kind of feel like competitive golf, even though they're in Hawaii. And this one feels like, hey, let's just kick back, relax, and see how low we can get because it's always an absolute shootout.
Yeah, for sure. But, where was I going? Oh, yeah. So I did, you know, I actually did tune in a good amount, at least on the weekend. And I was kind of shocked with all the football going on, but it got me pretty excited for the season, and it was 100% because of this amateur. And when I'm watching the tournament on Saturday, Sunday, I'm immediately thinking of Sam Bennett at the Masters. Obviously not as high of stakes, but I'm looking at this as a great storyline. The amateurs, got a chance, but he's going to fall short. And you just watch Sunday play out. He has a few hiccups on the front nine, and you kind of think it's happening, but one thing leads to another, and the guy is in the position to win the golf tournament, and he does. And it was pretty insane to see Harold beat, like you said, JT, Sam Burns. Schauffele was kind of the mix. I mean,
Yeah.
you don't have Rom. I guess Scotty was in the field as well, so insanely impressive. And it got me really excited for golf this weekend.
Absolutely. I mean, yeah, you mentioned Scottie Scheffler is in the field. Second was the South African. I'm just gonna say Christian because I'm not even gonna try to
Christian
pronounce.
Bazadenhut.
Bazadenhud. There you go. Well
See,
done. Appreciate
I
that.
can. There's. It depends on the word
Right.
for me. I'm
But then,
surprised
yeah,
I got that one off.
a guy named
So.
Kevin Yu, Xander, JT, Adam Hadwin, Keith Mitchell, I mean, and JT Poston, like those are guys who have won on tour in the past. And you know what? He went out and beat them. Fired a 60 in round three. It's 60. And
That's
look, he
right.
didn't. One of the hardest things to do, in my opinion, in golf is follow a low round. In that case, that's probably a dadgum near career round for this kid.
Yeah.
Follow a career
Actually,
round with the.
he shot 59 when he was 12. But
Okay, yeah, me
other
too.
than
And then I play the back
that,
nine. That's
exactly.
yeah. But then he follows it up with a 70. Look, it's would he've loved to shoot in the 60s again? Yes. But he did what he needed to do to win. To your point, a little shaky at start, but dude, when Sam Burton made his mistake on 17, Nick Dunlap was right there to capitalize and ends up walking away with the victory.
I will play a little devil's advocate here on the 18th hole. I mean, he 100% earned it, but on the 18th hole, he fans his drive a little bit right, and I see that his approach shot. I see him, throw the four right, and it is a group of people with mounds and a cart path, and the ball somehow like navigates through all of that and like kicks left towards the green. And I was like, this ball was probably, I can't imagine how close it was to just being catastrophic, but I just saw it land. I was like, how does that ball end up there? And when you saw him walking up the fairway with JT, JT was like, he said something like, first time to smoke a fan or something. Because I don't know. I think he was, JT probably thought he fired it into the grandstands. He's probably trying to ease the tension for the kid a little bit.
Yeah, roll
And
tide.
but I mean, the ball just turned out perfectly. Granted, he had to get it up and down, and that was a tough tee shot to begin with, but I was shocked to see that ball end up where it did.
Yeah, no, it almost makes me think of the grandstand rule, how dumb that rule is. Like, guys will literally overshoot greens on par fives on purpose because they know if it ends up in the grandstand, they get a free drop, right? But
Yep.
also, I know that's a little different case, but if you're gonna win, you need breaks. You need the ball to bounce your way because golf is so unpredictable and the margin for error is so thin that you either need like a break out of the trees or maybe the ball doesn't go into water and like hanging on the edge. You know what I'm saying? They're just, you always need the ball to go your way. And it did for him. So big shout out to Nick Dunlap for coming out the victory, 20 years old. First amateur to win since Phil Mickelson. It's been 30 years or just over 30 years, something like that. He came out with the win. Pretty incredible. That just shows how rare this is. Somebody was even asking me the other day, how often does an amateur win? Never. Let me tell you, that never happens. Proof by this. And I don't know if it's going to take another 30 years because these kids are getting so much better coming
Yeah.
out of school. So it's definitely the Nick Dunlap proved that it is definitely possible. Will we see it again? I don't know. Probably not for a bit, but it wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah.
So, Tebow,
I agree.
all right, I got a hypothetical here for you. Actually, it's not a hypothetical because this kid is in the situation. Nick Dunlap, as you mentioned, defending U.S. amateur champion, a sophomore at Alabama, right? Or is he a junior?
Think he's a sophomore.
Sophomore at Alabama. What do you do? Do you play as an amateur? Because he is exempt into the Masters now. But since he's not a card-holding member of the PGA Tour, there are like a he doesn't necessarily get the full things, but look, he is now into the Masters. He gets, I think, a two, like 18-month, 2-year exemption on the PGA Tour now for playing on this. Do you quit school and turn pro? Do you go back to school and still play in the Masters as an amateur, as the defending USAM champion? I mean, you'll always be the defending, but like, you know what I'm saying? Like, what do you do? Do you turn pro because you're still in the Masters no matter what now? What do you do if you're Nick Dunlap? I did see that he
Yeah.
dropped out of the State Farm this week. He was supposed to play out of Torrey, but dude, I bet you his life is a whirlwind right now. He is
Yeah.
turned upside down, so not surprising that he withdrew. But anyway, I'd love to hear your thoughts. If you were Nick Dunlap, what would you do in his situation?
So I would say a few years ago, I'm turning pro at the end of the season, if not immediately, probably immediately, with the NIL situation. I think you can 100% keep playing college golf. The amount of money that's going to be thrown at him just from that win, and that you got the USAM also. I mean, this is whether it's sponsors, really anything. And then if he really wants to do it, I wonder, like, God, I hate to even bring this up, the live offers. If he really wants to do that, he would never do that, I think,
No,
as a US
dude.
amateur.
No. No
But
chance. He probably is getting live offers, though. We would be
yeah,
naive to think that if he wasn't.
for sure. So in a way, I think the money's always going to be okay for him. Granted, you never know what's going to happen when you full on turn pro, but this guy's got a hell of a track record, and I think he can make a lot of money if he doesn't turn pro. So if it were me, I think I would play out the year, win a
Okay.
championship at Bama, and then jump into the summer as a professional.
Yeah, that's interesting. I hope, you know, let's NIL money is talked a lot about with football, right? Football, you got the transfer portal, NIL, those guys are making a ton of money. Let's just say they're making a ton of money. Same with basketball. I'm curious about the other sports, such as like golf, tennis. Your non-revenue generating sports, what those NIL offers actually look like. I'd be curious to know. So if we have any college golfers out there and you want to talk about it, hey, come on. We
That's a
love
good
to
point.
chat with you
That's a
because
good point.
they're not revenue generating sports, but like, you know, obviously this kid's going to get a lot of money. That's being a PGA Tour champion and Alabama has some deep pockets. We could tell you a story of multiple people who have been recruited there who have change the game, let's say, had their lives turned upside down. We firsthand stories. So, but that's not the point of this. I guess where I'm going with it is how before this, how much was he making in NIL? Like, obviously, he's a big time player, right? Won the US Amateur Champion, won that tournament. But like, this is life changing money status, though, to go out and pursue the dream of the PGA Tour. But there's also a maturity aspect that comes with it, I think. And I don't really know this kid or much about him, but look, he kept his moxie enough to win a PGA Tour tournament. So I assume he's mature for his age and can clearly handle it. But there's
Yeah.
also something
At the
about.
same time, you thought Matt Wolf was mature.
Yeah, I know. F me, right? Joke's on me. But there's also an element of learning to be a professional, you know, traveling every single week. You're not on a team anymore as opposed to like you are in college golf. It's just a little bit different. I'm with you. I think I would hold off through the end of the year and then turn pro and then see what happens. But if the NIL money is good, that's guaranteed. You turn pro or whatever, you're not necessarily guaranteed. Look, also, like stay in class, take the minimum amount of hours, which Alabama, I think you just need to like be breathing to be the minimum amount of hours. So whatever minimum hours you do to stay in school and play a close as you can to a normal PGA Tour schedule as you can. Because, look, they're not doing school anyway, or the tutors will.
I'll tell you that, Yeah.
Just saying.
You heard the question after the round, you know, do you have homework? Yeah. Are you going to do it? And he's like, probably not, or something like that. So,
yeah, exactly.
That was good.
Yeah. But, I mean, again, incredible story. Congrats, Nick Dunlap, on winning. It's a life changer, man, for a kid in this situation. Not even of legal drinking age yet. Let that sink in. But I bet you had a good time, safe to say. Not to say that we would back in our college days, T-Bone, but.
No.
Anyway, shout out to Drew and shout out to Darren. You know what's up. So, T-Bone, I think that's all I got on Nick Dunlap, unless you want to add anything else.
Nope, I think that's it.
All right. So, other winners so far this year, Chris Kirk won the Century at Plantation in Kapalua. Just worth mentioning, Chris Kirk's like one of those guys that's been around for forever, battled a lot of issues, I believe, and really, it's really good to see him win, I would say. Like, look, he's not necessarily a guy that gave me to turn on the TV and watch, but I mean, Kapalua is fantastic. The views are amazing. Golf in Hawaii is awesome. Also, because of the time change, Steve, they're 5 hours behind us here in Houston. Love it. And then Grayson Murray won the Sony Open. Really didn't watch it. Sorry, not going to lie, but worth mentioning.
That was a great tournament, actually.
Was there a hole in one? I feel like there was. Can't remember.
I can't remember. Anyway. There was a three-way playoff. And Grayson Murray against Keegan Bradley and Ben On. That sounds right.
Ben Yunon.
Grayson Murray, unfortunately, has been the like punching bag of the PGA Tour, I feel like. Granted, I think he gets himself in these situations, but most of it's on Twitter, and I think the guy's kind of a D-bag, if I'm being honest. But it seems like he's kind of been humbled, and he's had some lifestyle changes, kind of like Chris Kirk, I think, and battled back. You know, I don't know if I'm a huge fan of the guy, but it's good to see veterans win, have that story. But yeah, I think Hawaii golf is always pretty chill to start the year, followed up with the Palm Springs event. It's a good laid back start to the year, but things are I'd say things are going to amp up this week at the Farmers at Torrey Pines, and we have a loyal listener who's going to be boots on the ground at Torrey tomorrow, so might get a little inside scoop, inside the ropes look at Torrey tomorrow. No promises, but that's definitely exciting.
So I gotta go follow us on Instagram and Twitter at 3UnderParPod, the number 3UnderParPod. Go follow us there for some great content. T-Bone, also, how about Rory winning in Dubai? You know, seeing a lot of pictures. I believe it's his fourth time winning out there. You know, congrats to Rory. Hopefully, you can just go out and win a major, man. Let's be honest. He's coming up on year 10 of with no major championships besides winning the Players. But
yeah, it's well, I guess Rory, it was last week kind of tale of two weeks, three putt from 3 feet to lose.
Yeah.
And then win this week. I would almost feel like we shouldn't be worried about anything he does. He's just so good, and it's beating a dead horse, the majors. What's he gonna do?
Man, we can save that conversation for a different time.
I think the one we've probably said the same thing 10,000 times. We'll continue to say it. But he's probably a little bit older than Phil when Phil started winning majors. He could have a
true
Phil Mickelson career from now. That's one thing to remember. But yeah, I mean, so this is. This, I guess, this is the question I have for you. I thought we were going to save it. We're not going to. We're typically in a pool of some sort, selecting a team in the Masters, and that generally includes selecting a top 5 to top 10 golfer as your first pick. Will you be there? Will Rory be on your team? I'm probably not phrasing this question that well. Will you be, do you think you will pick Rory and he'll win one day, or will you miss out on the Rory party?
Okay, I think I understand. Do you get what I'm saying?
Basically,
so like in every Masters pool at Calcutta, Rory's one of the first ones off the board, right?
Yeah.
Do you think that if that bet's ever going to pay off? Is that what you're asking?
Basically, I'm saying, are you going to wait it out till he wins, or are you just going to put your hands up and saying, I'm good to miss this part, this Rory party? I'm not going to pick him and he may win, but that's okay. Or are you going to live and die by him winning the Masters?
Any major or the Masters?
We'll say any major.
Ooh, if it's any major, then yes, I will wait. I think he's got to get one, dude. He's too good to not win at least like a PGA, you know? Sorry, all due respect to the PGA championship, but, you know, it's, or at least one more British Open, dude. He was right there a couple years ago at the old course when Cam Smith won. Like, Rory should have won that. Yeah. I mean, but he got outdueled at the end of the day. Cam Smith beat him. The Masters. Yep. I don't know if I'm ready to pull Michael Scott and be like, I'm ready to get hurt again. I don't know if I'm ready for that.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's fair.
Okay. I raise you this question. Would you rather hold out for Jordan Spieth to win at the Masters again or Rory McIlroy to win once?
I like that. I almost think. Oh, definitely Rory won once.
Okay.
Yeah.
I asked that because literally yesterday at work for background noise, I had the 2019 Masters broadcast on in the background and I was listening to the 2019 Masters when Tiger won. And then next up on the suggested list was the 2016 Masters.
Yeah.
Is that the one that Spieth won? No, he won 2015. So Jordan Spieth won the 2015 Masters. Dang. So it is 9 years now since Spieth has won his first Masters. And he only has one green jacket. Keep that in mind. That feels criminal.
That's atrocious.
For how well he's played that golf course over the years, the fact that he has one green jacket is atrocious.
Yeah, that's bad. That's very bad. I don't want to get too far into the Masters and major talk because I think we're going to save that. But we're going to kind of stay on the same topic, or different topic, same idea. Hypothetical I just remembered from a buddy of mine that I thought was interesting that I wanted to run by you. Okay. All right, one shot to win $10 million. Are you taking a 8-foot putt with a little left to right break and you got to make it, or a 100-yard wedge shot, no wind, ends in the middle, and you got to get inside 20 feet?
I mean, give me the putt. Give me the putt all day. I can't hit a wedge to save my life right now. It's no chance. Look, 20 feet. You know what the PGA Tour. Okay, I'm going to look this up while we're doing this right now. The PGA Tour average wedge from 100 yards distance to hole. Okay, let's see what it is. Because I bet you it's about 20 feet, if not more. So the tour average from 100 yards and in is 15 feet 9 inches. So you would be a PGA Tour average to get that. No chance. There's no chance I'm doing it. Look, no. I can't do it. Give me the putt. I would take my chances. But I'll tell you what, if I hit that putt, my hands are going to be shaking.
I think I'm with you. I'm taking the putt. But I do think the nerves, it is way less nervy to hit that wedge shot than a little slider, a little left-right slider.
Let's be real. If you're from 100 yards, do you actually expect to do it? Because if you have an 8-foot putt, you're expected to make that. Even though the PGA Tour average from 8 feet is still probably 35%, it's not as high as you think it would be.
Yeah.
So with 100 yards, you can still swing freely, but like you wouldn't necessarily expect it. It would be more like, great, what a win. Yeah. But I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm with you. I feel more comfortable with the putter than a wedge in my hand. I'd be worried that my hands would be shaking, but no, I'm with you. You never know it. With the wedge, you can hit it fat, you can hit it thin, you could shank it. I would like to think I wouldn't do any of those with the putter, so
Yeah.
that's a little better, little bit better shot at it.
Okay. The average a at 10 feet, a tour professional makes 40%. And a scratch golfer makes 33% from 10 feet. So that's still less than half though for a pro. That's kind of surprising.
I agree.
That just shows how hard golf is.
For sure. You would think that would be like a free throw, like free throw percentages.
Yeah.
But anyways, I thought that was interesting. All right. Another topic we missed, a big topic that I was invested in over the break that I thought was going to be a lot bigger deal than it was the Tiger apparel deal. Tiger ended his what 20 plus year, probably approaching 30-year relationship with Nike. And I had no idea which way he was going to go, but it sounds like TaylorMade has officially signed some trademark with the Sunday Red and gonna have some gear there. So I
Yeah.
thought that was interesting. Didn't really see that coming.
Yeah, new logo too, I think.
So thought that was pretty interesting. It'll be weird seeing Tiger, not a Nike. I
I
mean,
mean,
it's
what a
never
run.
happened.
What a run. Like, Tiger and Nike go so hand in hand together. It's crazy. All those iconic Tiger moments. Wearing that Sunday Red with that Nike swoosh and that black hat and Nike swoosh. I mean, Tiger Nike, in my opinion, was as close as Jordan and Nike were.
I would
And
say,
like, if you're Nike, what are you doing? Seriously, you have one of the few needle drivers of any sport. Like LeBron James is probably needle driver of the NBA, MLB. You can make an argument for Shohei, probably. Maybe Aaron Judge, but like there's not necessarily a needle driver across an entire market in a sports league. Football, maybe, but like you can make an argument for Patrick Mahomes. I guess now, Travis Kelce, but of his love interest, but I'm not getting into that. But there's no doubt. Yeah, I'm with no business talking about that. I'll let everybody else do that. But there's no doubt that Tiger Woods is the needle mover in the sport of golf. And they had a phenomenal relationship. If you're Nike, you got to be getting out of the sports game or not the sports game, the golf game altogether. I think their apparel's doing fine, but apparel's gotten a lot more competitive. And they no longer manufacture their own golf clubs anymore. They stopped that a few years ago. But like, what are we doing here? I don't know. It's a very strange thing.
I would like to know how that stuff works.
Yeah.
Because is it like a Tiger thing? Is it a Nike thing? They still have a ton of guys. I mean, Scotty and Rory. I mean, that's as good as it gets behind Tiger.
I mean, think about growing up, though. Maybe we're going to date ourselves for a bit. Everybody wanted to wear the Sunday Red. Everybody. Doesn't matter if you're a junior golfer like we were, or if you were an adult, everybody wanted to wear that Sunday Red. Because that's what it was, Nike Sunday Red. Nobody's wearing Nike because Scottie Scheffler's wearing Nike. I don't think anybody's wearing Nike because Rory McIlroy's wearing Nike anymore. They're probably gonna get more value if they're the go sponsor Good Good or Foreplay or any other of those YouTube golf platforms now. But TaylorMade has already stashed a lot of them up. So like I don't know, or even Peter Millar. It's a very weird and strange thing. There's got it. So that tells me, honestly, it's probably more Nike on the decision. But
I
what do I know?
also wonder the when Tiger came back from the, I mean, I can't even remember what injury now. I think it was the latest back injury. No, it was the car wreck that caused a plantar fasciitis or whatever. Whenever that was going on around the Masters last year, he switched to the foot joys, and everyone was shitting their pants because he was
That's true.
wearing foot joys. And I wonder if that was like a middle finger to Nike,
Right.
and kind of started some turbulent times. But I always thought, I thought that was interesting. But yeah, man, the seeing Tiger not in Nike will be insanely weird. I always thought it was going to be like a Roger Federer going to like Uniqlo and On Cloud and kind of doing something different like that when Roger was like the Nike guy. So end of an era. It was a hell of a run.
What a run. Congratulations to Tiger and to Nike. I mean, what an absolute stellar deal for everybody. I think that was profitable for everybody. Tiger Woods being the first billionaire golfer of all time. Who knows? Phil might have been there first if he didn't gamble all of his money away. But ricochet shot at Phil. But yeah, no, that was it's an end of an era. I can't, again, Jordan and Nike, like LeBron and Nike, I guess, since he has a lifetime contract there. But like, there are very few athletes that are so synonymous with the brands. Tiger is one of those guys, and that relationship is over. Don't cry that it's over. Be glad that it happened. That's
I
what
like
I say.
That's a nice touch. Nice touch.
Thank you.
There.
T-Bone, you want to go to some golf gossip?
Yeah, let's do a little golf gossip. I feel a little sleazy bringing this into play, but hey, we're journalists. We report the facts.
That's right.
So recently, a gentleman by the name of Mr. Pat Perez, unfortunately, was on a Las Vegas trip, came home to his wife and kids, and came home to an empty house, no wife, no kids. I think she literally took everything. And also, the probably a year or two ago, there was a PGA Memes is a big Instagram account. The guy that runs it does like a MTV Cribs style show on YouTube. And he actually did Pat Perez's house with him and his wife a few years ago. The house is massive, mansion, ton of cars and stuff. It shows you how impressive that feat was that she pulled off. But it's kind of surprising because they've been together for a long time. I think they just had their second kid. She was also extremely supportive when Pat Perez moved to live. I think she was kind of calling out other golfers and stuff too, even Rory at some point. So kind of some Justine Reed vibes going here. But thought that was interesting. Back to the Nike conversation. In this YouTube show, you'll see that Pat Perez has the most insane Jordans collection of like anyone. Like, he has a room dedicated to Jordans. And
is it like PJ Tucker? You know, PJ Tucker, the Rockets, formerly of the Rockets.
He is probably like close to. He has a room dedicated to Jordans.
Wow, good for him.
So, I wonder if she snuck out with the Jordans as well. But there was a lot of good things in that house. I will say, is one of the ugliest designed houses I've ever seen. But go give that a watch on YouTube. But hate to see it. Pat Perez is a little controversial. Some would say kind of a dickhead. I'm kind of a fan, personally. But
I think if you were to ask my former roommate in college, I think you know what I'm talking about. He's not a fan of Pat Perez. I think he calls him a dick, to be precise, and an alcoholic, borderline. But hey, look, who wasn't at one point, right? No, but obviously he's a great golfer. He's just one of those guys that he took the bag. He took the bag for Liv. I think he's an absolute character. You still hate to see it, though. I don't wish that upon anybody. And yeah, it's an interesting story. Definitely worth mentioning in the golf gossip world.
For sure. We'll see how the four aces rebound from that this year. Hopefully it doesn't affect the team.
Yeah, team chemistry. We need it.
Another, I feel like we've talked about this at this point, but Liv is coming to Houston.
Yeah.
We've talked about this, right?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll
Yeah,
be
we're
sure to
going.
cheer him on. Yep. We're going. Got my fireballs
So,
out.
T-Bone, I got another golf gossip for you before you go to your topic here.
Yeah.
Do you remember Angel Cabrera,
Oh, yeah.
the former Masters champion? He is out of jail now. And I think he's wanting to play some professional golf after what happened. And so one of the questions is will he be at the Masters Champions dinner come April?
I actually saw that. I'm glad you brought that up. I think the Masters actually commented on it and said they would love to welcome him back with open arms if all of the legal issues are taken care of. I don't know, sure, I'm not sure exactly sure what that means, but it sounds like there's a chance for him to be back.
All right, that's good to know. Yeah, I didn't see if the Masters made a comment on it, but let's see. Here's an AP article. Oh my gosh. Okay, this was from 5 days ago. And he said the PGA Tour notified Cabrera his suspension has been lifted. So he's 54 years old, so he could be eligible for PGA Tour Champions. He said they had a bad luck. Oh my gosh, what is this? In a lengthy interview with Golf Digest published in December, January edition, Cabrera said he was embarrassed by his behavior and asked his former partners for forgiveness. They had the bad luck of being with me when I was at my worst. I wasn't the devil, but I did bad things. I'm
Oh,
deeply embarrassed because I disappointed the people closest to me and everyone who loves me through golf. Golf gave me everything, and I know I'll never be able to repay the debt I own the sport.
jeez.
So that
That's
would be his first time
brutal.
back at the Masters since 2019 if he were to go.
I'd love to see him
So,
back. That would be
yeah.
fun.
According to the article, Cabrera was in prison for 2 years for threats and harassment of his partner, a case that was joined by another former partner. Yeah. So, anyway. Crazy times. But yeah, if he gets all the stuff worked out, sounds like he'll be there.
I would love to see that. Similar note, PGA Tour Champions and the Masters. This Masters will be Bernhard Langer's last Masters. Absolute legend.
Really? Like officially his last Masters.
He announced that recently at a Champions event. But I actually heard this on another podcast today. One of the best recent Bernhard Masters memories was, I think it's probably 2019 or 18, was the year that the infamous year that Mr. Bryson DeChambeau called Augusta National a par 67 for him. Turns out he lost to Bernhard Langer that week. Wait, did he even make the cut?
I
I don't
don't
know if
think
he made the
Bryson made
cut.
the cut, man.
Okay, so then he lost to a lot of people. But
Yeah.
just an all-timer that we can't forget. We can never
Never
forget that.
forget. Hey, speaking of Bryson DeChambeau, did you see the rumor mills going around? Apparently, there was a video that dropped between him and Paige Sporanik.
Interesting.
Yeah,
That
so
would
of
be interesting.
course, again, the rumor mills going around now. Like, are they together? Are they doing things? Or, Paige Sporanik does her a golf thing where, she's hot, and let's just put it that way, right? And
Full
she's really
speed
good at
spin.
golf though too. And then doing a video with Bryson DeChambeau. I think Bryson is single, so, and she is reportedly single at this time, at least at the time of this recording, I believe. Don't fact check me, but anyway, I just thought it was
That is
hilarious
some
because she
golf
like
gossip.
addressed it. Yeah.
That is some golf gossip I could get into right now. I might need to investigate that further, but that would be an interesting dynamic
Yeah.
that
It's.
I think that would break a lot of hearts.
You think so? I don't know. Do you think they would be good together? Because he's like a weird, dork, meathead type guy. And like Paige, I can't really tell from her personality or like from her videos and whatnot, because I think she portrays one way on Instagram, one way that has made her a shit ton of money doing, showing off her body while playing golf. Let's just call it what it is, right? She's been on like Sports Illustrated with nothing on, dude.
RIP.
Yeah. Oh yeah, another sports. Yeah, Sports Illustrated just gone.
Yep.
Anyway. But I think she's brilliant at the same time because she knows what she's good at and she knows how to market herself. But Bryson's just a douche, man. Like, I don't know. What do you think? Do you think they'll be
That
good
would be
together?
interesting. I don't know if I could comment too much on her personality, but I don't know. I would say the reasons they would be good together, they're both I feel like they're both more YouTubers than they are golfers.
Hold on. You think Bryson is more of a YouTuber?
I almost think he wants to be. I almost
Really?
think he wants to be.
Tell me
Yes.
more.
I think his whole thing is like a goofy scientist son of a bitch who plays golf on the side. I don't know. Like he likes the crushers. He likes to do stuff with didn't he do stuff with Dude Perfect at Augusta a few years ago? Like
Yeah, no, I think
I
Augusta
just think
played, or yeah,
he's
they
like
did like
a
a played Augusta with their weird way where they're like kicking a kickball or throwing a frisbee
yeah.
or something like that.
I think he's like a weird like scientist meathead Nickelodeon YouTube golfer.
But he's better than like a James Kwan or something like that, who
Fair
like
enough. He's damn
and
good.
James
I need to
Kwan
give
is
him
a
some respect.
stick, man. That guy was so good at OU.
Yeah. Wait, who?
James Kwan, he's
Oh,
now
is
a
that the
good
good?
good.
Yeah. No,
But
I'm being a dick,
I know,
but
I know.
kind of not.
But hey, with all
So
that
to
free
answer,
time of the schedule now with Liv, he can focus on his YouTube career.
that's what I'm saying. So I don't know how to answer that question, but I do think this needs some further investigation for golf gossip. So I think we
Okay.
need to monitor and we'll comment again when necessary, but definitely interesting.
I like it. I like it. We'll keep our ear to the ground and report back to the people as journalists. That's what we'll do. I
I like
know
referring to us as journalists.
it's kind of weird. I don't know if I like that though. Like I like it,
Yeah.
but I don't.
Yeah.
It's
Are
an
we?
interesting thing.
Yeah, I don't know. Let us know in the comments. Are we journalists? Are we
Ooh.
considered golf journalists?
Yeah. We'll see. We'll see. We'll let the people decide. We should throw up a poll on Instagram too and be like, are we considered journalists? Thanks.
Yeah. I'll throw that on the Insta tonight.
Yes. There's another topic, T-Bone, that I don't really want to get into. I don't feel like getting heated or anything like that. But is there anything else for golf gossip that you would like to bring up?
No, I think we hit on all points that I wanted to cover. Golf gossip especially. This is we've packed a punch so far. I think we're off to a good start for the
I
year.
got one more.
Yeah, hit
Aaron
me.
Rodgers got his first hole in one, or his first round post-surgery, got a hole in one
He's probably had multiple.
at Shadow. Where was
Shadow
it? Shadow
Creek in
Creek.
Vegas.
Yeah.
I think the most expensive course in the world to
It's
play.
like $1,200 or something like
Yeah,
that.
that's what the bubble, what's it called?
Well, that was the
The
first course
sphere?
of the first match between
Yeah.
Phil and Tiger. Was that Shadow
Yeah.
Creek?
Yeah, it looks so cool.
It does. It
But
looks pretty awesome.
yeah, that was insane. I think he took his lineman out for a trip. Man, I mean, some things just aren't fair.
I know. I know. Well,
Is this
T-Bone. Yeah, go ahead.
one last question. Is this the year either you or I get an ace?
I think you have a better chance of getting an ace than I do.
Wow. Yeah, I play about 95% more golf,
I
so
believe in you.
yeah.
Yes. The odds say no, but I'm going to say yes for you, T-Bone. I think you get a hole in one this year. You've been playing some great golf. You're going to keep the good times roll. You're going to be in a lot better headspace since you're getting married this year and doing that whole thing. You're going to be good.
Okay, I like that. I like that.
Yeah.
I'm honestly shocked you haven't had one. I don't know how that's possible, but yeah, maybe we'll
Yeah.
get you back out on the course someday. We'll see what happens.
Yes, I'm in. That sounds good to me. I like it. Well, T-Bone, before we wrap this up, I do want to have a moment for the passing of one of golf legendary figures the passing of Jackie Burke Jr. at the age of 100, a former Masters champ, two-time major champion, a Houstonian legend as well, founded Champions Golf Club, was an absolute, again, just like legend's the only word that I can think of. He had a lot of his Jackie-isms. If you go to golf.com, you can read an article by friend of the pod, Art Strickland. He did a great write-up in memoriam of Jackie Burke Jr., and it is definitely one of those passings. It's a life well lived in the golf world, being 100 years old. I mean, look, dude, I got a classmate. He's a member out of Champions, and he was saying that Jackie Burke was out there just a few months ago.
Yeah.
The guy was still active. There, you hear so many stories of Phil, you know, going to him for putting advice and short game advice and giving all these lessons. Hal Sutton has a million stories too. He was an incredible figure for the game, and so wanted to recognize Jackie Burke Jr.
Yeah, good word. I'd almost want to say like underappreciated. I don't think he was like the biggest name, but was a huge impact on the game of golf. And yeah, definitely a Houston legend. The man loves him some Champions Golf Club. And yeah, that was I think he spent a lot of time where he wanted to at Champions. So
yeah. I mean, look, he dedicated his life to the game, and yeah, that's what he wanted to do, and surrounded himself with it, man. He did a great job with it. Yeah, I think that's an interesting point. Maybe we know that name so much and so well, being from the Houston area, as he was, and Champions being in our backyard. And nationally, though, very like famous amongst golf writers and historians, because when he won the Masters, if I'm not mistaken, that was the year that Ken Venturi blew it in 1956. So, but yeah, again, two-time major champion winner. You want to hear a crazy story? All right, here's a crazy story. One of the Jackie Burke stories from, so when he won the when Jackie Burke won the PGA Championship in 1958 or 1956, he gets the check, the winner's check from the PGA of America. The check bounced. The check bounced. That just shows at that time, those guys were making practically no money, and the organizations behind it had no money as well. The check bounced from the PGA of America when he won. How crazy is that?
That's insane. That is wild. Yeah.
He told that story to Art Strickland, and he passed that along to my dad and I. So wanted to pass that along to the viewers as well. I don't think the PGA of America is bouncing any checks nowadays. Let's put it that way. Or especially the PGA Tour. But we can talk about that if and when that merger happens later on. So a life well lived. Thoughts and condolences to the Burke family. And you know, thank you, Jackie Burke Jr., for all that you've done for the game of golf.
Well said.
I think that wraps it up for this episode, T-Bone. Any other parting thoughts before we send off this evening?
No, I think to wrap up, I'm pretty excited for the Travelers. Like I said, we should have some boots on the ground tomorrow, so might be able to throw some stuff on the Instagram. So be on the lookout for that. But I'm ready for this bad weather to go away, get back on the course and watch some golf. We got a good year ahead of us.
I agree. It's going to be fantastic. Torrey Pines, one of the most beautiful courses, pieces of land in the country. It's up there as with Monterey Peninsula.
Yeah, we both played there. Have had everyone play at Torrey Pines.
How about that? Did you play the north or the south?
South.
Yeah, so did I. Yeah. We had the option, and I was like, I'm going to play the south.
Yeah, got to.
Yeah, it's amazing that three and four, just so cool, right on the edge, that part three. It's awesome. Man. It's a beautiful piece of property. Obviously, historic Tiger 2008 U.S. Open. It's fantastic. And as we always say, this really kind of kicks off the golf season, right? You have your Hawaii tournament, you have your fun at the American Express, and now everybody is here, or who's left on the PGA Tour now, is here ready to play down at Torrey Pines. It's gonna be a lot of fun, man. I don't know who's gonna win, but I'm ready to watch some golf.
I'm too. Homa's defending?
Homa's defending champion. Correct.
Cool. All right, brother.
Well, everybody, thank you for
Take us
tuning
away.
In. We appreciate you sticking with us. Again, go at chipgolfco.com, promo code 300, link in the description below. Follow us on our social media channels at 300parpod, especially if we're getting some Torrey Pines content out there. And we're going to throw up a poll if we are considered golf journalists. T-Bone, tell us about the Paisley House.
Paisley House, all of your interior design needs in the Houston area. Call Joni. If you're there, tell them you're looking for Joni and that 300 Par sent you, and she'll hook it up.
Pretty close to B&B Butcher, right?
Yes, very, very close.
Paisley House?
Yeah.
Yeah, man. You know, I have a family member who says that B&B Butcher has the best cheesecake in Houston.
Interesting.
Yes.
I haven't had it, but I would definitely believe that. The place is amazing.
Apparently, they get it like flown in from New York.
Wow.
Every week. Yeah. So, like, it's legit fresh off the plane from New York.
That's good to know. I like that.
Yeah. So, next time you're at the Paisley House, go get this is free advertisement for B&B Butcher. You're welcome. Cut the check.
Yeah.
Go
they
get a
need
cheesecake from B&B Butcher. And then while you eat it, go to the Paisley House and go see Joni. There you go. You're welcome.
Love it. Love
Yes.
it.
Well, everybody, thank you for tuning in. We appreciate it. We'll be back next week to talk some Travelers. It's not the Travelers. I always say Travelers. Farmers Insurance, Torrey Pines. Should be a good week. Exciting year. We'll give our Masters and Majors predictions for the year 2024. We thank you, the audience. I'm Scott for T-Bone. And remember,
Little White Ball's Life.